likewise an honor to be asked by Granddaddy to speak at his funeral. What an honor. At approximately 8:15 a.m. on Thursday, December 3rd, 2020, the Lord Jesus Christ came to 1879 Lower Salt River Road to bring Oscar J. Bailey home. Praise God. Praise God. This is truly a sad time for us. Us who are his family, all his family, those of us who knew. But I want us to make sure we know this is not a sad time for him. He asked me, it's probably been going on 2 years now, it's been a while since he asked me to do this. And as I gave thought to it and prayed about it, I sat down with him and I asked him certain things that he would once said, certain songs he would once sung. This is one of the verses he mentioned to me. I want to read it to you because this brings great comfort to me in this time. Revelation 21 verse 4 says, and this is concerning God's people, says, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. For the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, this is the part he liked of this, I make all things thought. Ecclesiastes 7 verse 2 says, it is better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting. For this is the end of all men, and the living will lay it to his heart. This is the end of all men. I pray God might cause us lay this to our heart. The text I'd like to speak to you from for a few minutes is found in Hebrews chapter 9. Verse 27 says, it is appointed unto men once to die. This was appointed. We need to understand that. This was appointed by God. And he died at exactly his appointed time. Now, for those of us who have been aware of the situation, especially those of us who have been there with him, we saw this coming. We've seen this coming for a while now. We didn't know when God did, but we saw it coming. But how often someone dies and we don't see it coming? We've all been there. Somebody will die, and it'll be said, oh, that was a terrible accident. What a tragedy. That could have been avoided. According to God's word, we all die at our appointed time. There's no such thing as an accident, God. No such thing. Job 14, verse 5 says this about man. His days are numbered. The number of his months are with thee. Thou hast appointed his bounds that he cannot pass. Our days are numbered. Ecclesiastes 3 verse 2 says, there is a time to be born and a time to die. And both of those are God's appointed time. In God's time, everything that happens in this world happens in his time. Job also said when the Lord sent Satan to try him greatly, And know that Satan couldn't touch him if the Lord didn't say go. So don't kill him. He tried him greatly. He took away everything that man had. And this is what Job had to say about it. He said, the Lord gave. That's where we got started. The Lord gave us him. And now the Lord hath taken away. I pray that our response is what Job's response was. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Something happens, we don't understand, we question it. Why, Lord? That's not the right answer. We need that. And it takes God to give us faith to say this and to mean it. Amen, Lord. Yea, Lord. This is right. This is right. Our times are in God's hand. And very soon, our life will be over. Very soon, you and I will have our turn. Oscar Bailey lived what I consider to be a long life. Almost 83 and a half years. He had a long, good life. But he'd be the first to tell you that it didn't seem all that long. You know, as a child, you think, 83, whew, that's a long way away. Well, I'll tell you what, I'm around a third of his age, and every day that goes by, it doesn't seem so old. It's going to be a year 41. Life is short, and it goes by so fast. James 4:14 says, what is your life? We need to think about that. We need to ask ourselves this question often. What is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. So short, so quick. And we ought to consider what truly happens when we die. I can tell you this, a lot more happens than what we're seeing. And I want to try to talk to you about what happens when we die. Deuteronomy 32:29 says, oh, that they were wise, that they understood this, that they would consider, give thought to, often, their latter end. Just mentioned death and mourning is the end of all men. But according to God's word, this is not our latter end. This is not our latter end. What is our latter end? Hebrews 9:27 says, it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Death is not human. For Oscar Bailey, judgment has come. And soon, very soon, judgment is coming for you and for me. Very soon. What is the judgment? Doesn't say a judgment. The judgment. What is the judgment? It's meeting our Maker, capital M. We're going to meet our Creator. We're going to meet the King, the Sovereign God, who rules and reigns over heaven and earth, all things. And when we stand before Him, we must give an account. Not for each other, but for ourselves. We must give an account to God of the things done in our body, whether they be good or bad. 2 Corinthians 5:10. I hope we understand how serious this is. We must stand before Him who said, He is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. And He does. Hebrews 10:31 says, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. I pray God will teach us what a fearful thing that really is. Not to take it lightly. To some, judgment will be to condemnation. I can't read this book, you're not going to find worse thoughts. But to others, judgment will be to life eternal. God will be the judge. God will be the judge. People often say, only God can judge me. I tell you, that's a foolish thing to say. Because He will judge us. And He is a righteous judge. Everything God does is right because God is holy. He's just. He's righteous. Here's what He said in Exodus 34:7. Said, I will by no means clear the guilty. Not happening. Said, the soul that sinned, it shall die. It shall surely die. Nathan 1:3 says, God will not at all acquit the wicked. Psalm 1:5 says, the ungodly shall not stand in judgment. Psalm 5:5 says, the foolish shall not stand in thy sight. David said, if thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, who shall stand? God is holy. God is just. And He will judge us with a perfect, righteous, holy judgment. Does that make you tremble like it does me? The sad reality is many give this no thought. The sad reality is many, their time will come. They have no hope. They never took this seriously. Well, I'm here to tell you, and I promise you, Oscar Bailey wanted me to tell you this. This is the most serious thing we could ever consider. Soon we're going to meet God in judgment. Very soon. Now, I want to tell you the hope that our beloved Oscar Bailey had as he anticipated. He knew it was coming. I want to tell you the blessed hope he had as he anticipated meeting God Almighty in the judgment. And I am so eternally grateful that he had this blessed hope. I want to read you Hebrews 9:27 and the first part of verse 28. It is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of men. Oscar Bailey's hope was in Jesus Christ. More specifically, his hope was in who he was and why he came into this world. Well, who is he? He's God manifest in the flesh, the Word made flesh who dwelt among us. He's God Almighty. He's the Son of God and He's God the Son. He's the Father's only well-beloved Son. Why did He come into this world? 1 Timothy 1:15 says, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I'm chief. And in the blessed providence of God, Oscar Bailey learned himself to be just that, a sinner. Very few know themselves to truly be a sinner. He learned that not only had he sinned, everybody will say that, yeah, I sinned. He learned he'd sinned against God. The psalmist said, against thee, thee only have I sinned. Our sin against God. He learned that his sins had separated him from his God. And that's what sin does. Separates us from God who made us. And he learned that as a result of that he was worthy of eternal wrath and damnation. He learned by the gospel of God's grace that his carnal mind was enmity against God. That's a hard thing to learn. You know, everybody likes to talk about their love for God. Oh, I love Jesus. By nature, we don't. He has to put His love in us. He shed abroad the love of God in our hearts when He reveals Christ to us. That was His hope. He learned that his religion all his life until God saved him was vain. It was empty. It was useless. And that his works, and not just his works, his best works, could not save him. Nothing he did, and he would tell you this, could bring him any closer to God, but only damn him forever. He learned that he didn't deserve to be saved. And he learned that he was totally helpless in himself. No hope in himself. That's what it is to be a sinner. All the writers say a sinner is a sacred thing. The Holy Ghost has made him so. And here's why. Only a sinner needs a Savior. Christ said, I came not to call the righteous, not those who have a self-righteousness that are ready to meet God, that are ready to walk right through the gates of glory. He said, I didn't come for them. He said, I came to call sinners, beggars, the ungodly. Christ died for the ungodly. He came to call sinners to repentance. And He did. He called that man to repentance. Oscar Bailey needed a Savior. I pray we do too. His hope was that Jesus Christ was once offered to bear his sins. We can't put away our sins. And if we're going to stand accepted in God's sight, we must have no sin. We must be as holy as He is. And His hope was that that's exactly what happened as a result of what Christ did on the cross. He bore His sins in His own body on the cursed tree. He bore His curse. He bore His judgment. He bore His wrath. He bore His eternal death. And He did so successfully. He needed a substitute. Read Isaiah 53. We need a substitute. Christ is that substitute. His hope was that Christ was made sin, He who knew no sin. And that by that blessed substitution, He made Him and all His people to be the very righteousness of God in Him. And Ephesians 1 tells us, He hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in the Lord Jesus Christ. Oscar Bailey's hope was not in anything he could offer God, but in God's mercy at the end of Christ. Christ said, I will have mercy and not sacrifice. And He said, I'll have mercy on whom I will have mercy. I'll be gracious to whom I will be gracious. His hope was that all for whom Christ died shall be saved. His hope was that by Himself, the Lord Jesus Christ actually perfected forever them that are sanctified, those whom God the Father chose from eternity unto salvation. His hope was that as His Lord bowed His head and gave up the ghost, when He cried, it is finished, His hope and mine is that it was finished. That there's nothing left to be done. You're mine. His salvation was a free, sovereign gift of God. Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He did nothing to save Himself, and praise God, there was nothing He could do to lose His salvation. It's a gift. The gift of God. And all of this, His hope, was that even his faith to believe God, or perhaps especially his faith, even that was the gift of God. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Is this your hope? Are you a sinner in need of a Savior? Do you need Christ to be your all in all? If so, then listen to these two verses together. It is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. He's coming back. Praise his holy name, he's coming back. He came and was offered for sin once. And that's all it took to save all his people by one offering. He did it all. He paid it all. It's done. All whom he came to save shall be saved. Salvation is accomplished. Now we wait. You know what this man spent the last many years of his life doing? Waiting. In many ways. But especially on this. He was waiting for this day. Lord Jesus is coming back a second time without sin. He was waiting, but he's coming back without sin. Buried, he carried my sins far away unto salvation. He's coming back a victorious Savior. And he shall appear. He's going to come back for those that look for him. You're looking for him. By the grace of God. Oscar Bailey was looking for him by the faith that God gave him. Truly, he was thankful to be here. I've never met such a thankful person. Never asked for a thing in his life. I believe that's a true statement. And yet he so freely gave everything he had to us who do not serve. But you know, that's a good spiritual picture. God didn't need nothing. He asked for nothing. All things are his. The cattle on a thousand hills. All along God. And yet he freely gave himself to those who do not deserve him. My soul. But the desire of his heart, what he was waiting for, was to be with his Savior. And I rejoice to know he's not waiting for that anymore. He's not looking for him anymore. He's beholding his Savior face to face, beholding his face in righteousness, awakening in his likeness, seeing him. As he is. Amazing. I'm jealous, honestly. It makes my heart rejoice just the thought. That verse I just quoted, it says, I'll be satisfied. That's when I'll be satisfied. You know, he was content, I believe, all the time. But now he's satisfied. What was it worth? For us, it's time to say goodbye. This is a hard time. Today I say goodbye to the kind, loving, selfless, tender-hearted man I call him today. For all of us who are in Christ, it's these soon. And I got to thinking about that. Last thing I said to him Wednesday night was, see you soon. I meant it then, and I mean it now, more than ever. The Lord Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. And then he said, believest thou this? And I said, yea, Lord, I believe. Help that on my unbelief. It's okay to cry. It's right for us to mourn. But I pray that we don't sorrow as those who have no hope. God has given us hope. Given us the blessed hope in his word. He said in John 14, he said, I go to prepare a place for you. He was talking to his disciples. He said, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and can't receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. What is the place he prepared for us? The place is Christ himself. He said that where I am, there you may be also. He came to the cross, and he's seated on his throne of glory. And that's where he brings all his people to himself in glory at the feet of his Savior. You see, heaven is not, it's not what we often think it is. He's not working anymore. This man worked all his life. He told me a couple weeks ago when I was staying up with him, he said, get your rest. Said it twice. I said, I'm fine. I said, you get your rest. Praise God, he's getting his rest. He's not on a farm. He's not on a tractor. He's not driving a truck. He's not holding a fishing pole. He's in the arms of his Savior, worshiping him. He's resting. And soon those of us in Christ will be resting right along with him, with our Lord Jesus Christ. My dad mentioned that he worshiped God. By God's grace, he did it. And that's where I must thank God, most of all, for using this man to bring my parents and me and others under the sound of the gospel of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Had He not, I had no hope. I stand here and tell you, He worked His way to heaven. He did great. God is well pleased. He marched right in, but that's just not so. He was a sinner who needed a Savior. Praise God, he had one. He has one. And this is going to take away. They're about to take his body away from us. I just read Christ is a resurrection. He's going to resurrect our bodies to be with him. What a thought. What a blessed thought. We live, move, and have our being in him. And now he's loving and praising the Lord his God. Dear Heavenly Father, oh, how we thank you for your goodness to Oscar Bailey. Lord, you truly are a holy God. You are a just God who must punish all sin. But how we rejoice to know that you are a God who delights to show mercy to all who need it. You said all that come to you, you will in no wise cast down. You're the bread of heaven, you're the water of life, and you said, whosoever will let it come. And yet you said, all who will come are those whom the Father gave to you. I'm so thankful for this blessed hope that our beloved Oscar Bailey had. I pray that you will make Christ and Him crucified the hope of his soul here. I pray that now and in the days to come, you will bring great comfort to Nancy, OJ, Mona, Carla, everyone here who was so greatly touched by this dear man. Lord, wipe away our tears. Comfort our hearts. Let not our hearts be troubled. But I pray you'll do so by causing us to look to Christ. Cause us to look for Him and long for His appearing as our dear Oscar did. Please have mercy on us. Please forgive us of our sin. Please bless the words spoken today. I say, when we would talk about the funeral preparation, he asked for a specific song to be played at his funeral. It was sung by a dear brother in Christ, David Coleman, who went to be with his Lord a year and a half ago. They worshiped God together for many years, and they had the same blessed hope. The name of this song comes from Colossians 3:11. Christ is all. May God make that our hope.
Amen. Yeah.